Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Have you heard of Funky Cat? What about Build Your Dreams or Polestar? Well, I'm not talking about the latest must-see cartoons, a self-help book or a new planet even, because these are all examples of Chinese electric vehicles that are becoming more common on Irish roads. Global sales figures at the start of the month showed that the US car maker Tesla has lost its crown as the top maker of the all-electric vehicles to the Chinese firm BYD. So, how important could the Chinese car industry become here in Ireland? Well, I'm joined in the studio by Adam Maguire, RTE business journalist. Adam, good morning.
Hi Claire, how
are
you?
Very welcome. So, tell us how big the Chinese car industry is.
It's really massive. Somewhere in the region of 23 to 27 million cars produced in China in 2022. To put that in context, the European Union produced a little under 11 million in 2022. In the US, it's actually a little lower than that, but if you expand it out to North America, you're looking at around 14 to 15 million car produced. So, China is making far more cars than any other market really, and has been for some time. But until recently, most of what they made was staying in the Chinese market. So we weren't seeing it necessarily. Mm-hmm. It was for the Chinese domestic
market. But that's why this is interesting now, because that is changing.
Yeah. In the past decade or so, we've seen a real pickup in Chinese cars, but it's really, really picked up in the last two or so years. So if you go back to 2010, just over 500,000 vehicles were exported by China, and that includes commercial vehicles. 10 years on, by 2020, that had nearly doubled to just under 1 million, which is, you know, a fairly decent pace of growth. But then in 2021, it jumped to 2 million. So it doubled in the space of a year, the amount of cars they were exporting to other markets. It rose again in 2022, 3 million vehicles exported. So tripling in the space of 2 years. And the trend has continued into last year. We don't have exact figures yet, but it's expected to be somewhere in the region of 5 million vehicles exported by China. And at one point early last year, China overtook Japan to become the biggest exporter of cars in the world. So you can see that this has been a concerted, you know, coordinated pushed by the country and its manufacturers to start selling cars to other markets.
Over a long period of time to get to that point where they've ramped it up to where it is now. So Chinese cars are here in Ireland, but we wouldn't necessarily know that, would we?
No, we have multiple Chinese car brands on the Irish market, and you've almost certainly seen them. You've almost certainly seen the ads. Many listeners might even own one, and I wonder if they actually know that it's a Chinese brand that they've bought. BYD, that you mentioned, probably the most obvious one. It only started selling here last year. Already hundreds of its compact SUVs on the road, and it's just launched its third car model here as well. So it's really expanding quite rapidly from nothing to three different cars on the road in the space of a year. BYD stands for Build Your Dreams, which it doesn't really, though. It's a backronym. It actually comes from the full Chinese brand name.
A backronym,
yeah. They kind of latched it on. It was Biadi, and they shortened it to BYD and then said, well, what do we pretend that stands for? And they say it's Build Your Dreams.
And they write that on the back of the car, because I've seen that.
Yeah, exactly. And in their ads, they say they're the biggest car brand you've never heard of. But as you say, it's actually, you know, the biggest electric car company in the world, bar none, because it overtook Tesla in terms of battery-powered cars for the first time ever recently. There's also Aura, you mentioned, the Funky Cat. Its second model is going to launch this year. Then we have Polestar, which is a kind of higher-end electric car company. Technically, that's a Swedish brand, and this is where it gets quite interesting, because Polestar was acquired by Volvo in 2015. Volvo is in turn owned by Geely Automotive, which is a Chinese car maker. A lot of people think that Volvo is a Swedish brand. It is still headquartered there, but it's actually owned by a Chinese company.
I did think Polestar, I didn't realise it was a Chinese brand.
Yeah, and it is kind of, you can see the similarities with Volvo. It is kind of through the Volvo subsidiary, but ultimately it's a Chinese company. And the Polestar cars are made in China. Some Volvo cars are also made there, but they still have a lot of their production in Europe and North America. Another of the kind of storied car brands that's become a Chinese brand now is MG. It was once a kind of classic British car maker. It was bought by Nanjing Automotive Group in 2005. It later became SAIC, and that's actually a state-owned car maker. So there's a direct line between the Chinese government and the expansion into the global market here. So Volvo and MG, well-known brands, and you know, they have a decent level of sales to match. When you add them in, along with BYD or a Polestar, you see more than 4,700 Chinese cars sold in Ireland last year. That is only 4% of the total number of cars sold last year, but it's growing. It's double on what happened in 2022. And I'd imagine that we're going to see another expansion this year as well, as those brands really take hold in the market.
Can we go back then to the Chinese plan to grow the market in this way for export? Tell me about what's behind all of that.
First and foremost, it's about money. That, you know, they've built up an expertise in mass producing cars. They see an opportunity ability to sell those cars around the world. So, you know, it's an obvious enough thing. But there is a practical element as well, because the scale of production in China is at a point now where they're outstripping domestic demand. So they're making more cars than they can sell in China. So the choice then is, do you strip back your manufacturing, maybe lay off people, cut costs, or do you find someone else to start selling them to? And that's what they've started doing. And the oversupply is important because of the timing in terms of where we're at in the market. We're sitting in the middle of this kind of once in a generation switch from fossil fuels to electric vehicles. And you'll notice that those three new Chinese car brands, BYD, Aura, Polestar, they're all 100% electric car companies, at least in terms of what they're selling into Ireland and into Europe. Volvo, MG, of course, are traditional car makers, but they are moving towards electric as well. And it's important for a number of reasons why they're electric only, because manufacturers have an advantage there because they're not trying to balance two different markets. They're not trying to balance two different production lines. They're purely electric. And it's also an easier sell to say, we're an electric car company, like Tesla says. You know, we don't mess around with anything else. We know what we're doing in this area. And the other reason, though, why EVs is important in terms of the Chinese push is because they have another major advantage. They've built up a huge amount of expertise in the battery market, both in terms of the sourcing of the raw materials, but also the production of batteries as well. And of course, batteries are a major part of an electric car. They're a major part of the cost. They're about 40% of the cost of an electric car. So if you know how to build car batteries, putting the actual car around it and selling
that's
that,
the easy bit,
that's kind of the easy bit, really. Yeah, you know, because the hard bit is getting the batteries right. And that's what other companies have struggled with. So if Chinese firms are already sourcing and producing batteries, they almost may as well start selling the cars. And BYD actually started out as a rechargeable battery company and eventually became a car company.
That tells a tale in itself. So how then does Europe feel about all of these container ships arriving here from China with these Chinese electric cars on board?
It has concerns. That might be the diplomatic way of putting it. Back in October, the European Commission launched a probe into this influx of Chinese cars. It's officially an anti-subsidy investigation, so that tells you what they're kind of honing in on, because the fear among European officials is that China has been and is continuing to subsidise its manufacturers in order to help them grow rapidly. And assuming that was the case, you can see how it would create a massive issue in Europe, because it would give Chinese producers an unfair advantage from the start, because it's very expensive and risky to you know, make and produce and sell cars. But if you've got someone like the state picking up the tab, it makes it an awful lot easier. And then when it comes to selling them, you can also price them under the market because you're being subsidised. Mm-hmm. And that means that, you know, if that happens over time, suddenly the European manufacturers can't compete. They go out of business. And that would be a major threat for not only the economy in certain parts of Europe, but also employment. And it would also make Europe less self-sufficient in what is a very important area. So the EU claims that this flooding of the market is what China did in solar panels already, and it wiped out a lot of European solar panel producers, and they don't want to see it happen again in cars. And it is definitely the case that some of these Chinese car companies are priced in a way that European and American manufacturers are really struggling to compete with. But the Chinese car company saying that, well, that's because we have those efficiencies. We own the supply chain, we make the batteries, so that's how we can mm-hmm. sell for less than others. China itself denies it's subsidising car makers. It's also complained about the lack of information and time it's getting from Europe to respond to these allegations.
Okay, so Europe is saying we're concerned about the subsidy side of this, but are there security concerns that maybe we're not overtly hearing about?
Well, Europe hasn't raised them yet. It is one area that they've focused in on subsidies. They haven't really been talking about security concerns, at least not publicly. Some officials in the UK and the US have raised points around that, though. And you can see why as well, because you think of all of the concern raised about TikTok in recent years and the claim that it was giving a backdoor to Chinese state surveillance. That was a claim that was obviously denied by TikTok and continues to be, but it did lead countries to ban the app or to tell civil servants not to download the app and put it onto their official devices and so on. And whatever about the data that TikTok might gather on somebody, what a car can do is far beyond that, because modern cars are laden down with sensors now. They can tell everything about what you're doing.
So where I've been, where I've got,
where you've
been,
where you're going, when you drive, where, how you drive, where you drive. It connects to your phone. It has a microphone built in for your hands-free, so it could listen to. So if you imagine if someone was able to and willing to tap into all of those sensors and all that, they'd know an awful lot about what you do and where you're going and everything else. So huge security risk if someone was going to use that maliciously. Interestingly though, so far Europe hasn't actually been talking about that publicly. Maybe privately they are concerned.
Yeah.
But so far, they focused in on the subsidies as their main concern.
Okay, so it's worth keeping an eye on the market. They were 4% of the market here in Ireland last year. So let's see what happens in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a safe prediction to say they're going to increase their sales this year in Ireland. They'll probably be a bigger part of the market. European and Japanese producers will probably still be the big thing in Ireland, but the Chinese market is definitely growing.
Adam, thanks as always. Adam McGuire there, RTE business journalist. Now, in the next hour of the programme, we're going to hear from Marion McKeown in the United States about Donald Trump's attempts to wrangle out of some of the legal woes he faces in this election year. Our regular GP, Dr. Maura Finn, will be taking your questions on bruising. 51551 is the number to text there. And we're also looking forward to a visit from singer Mary Byrne, who's launching her one-woman show telling the story of her life from the supermarket checkout to the X Factor. That's all on the way after 11.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.